right, we're recording.
Alrighty.
Here we go.
What's up? Oh my gosh. Hi. How are you?
Good. I got all prettied up for you this early on a Saturday morning.
I love this. And your K-State gear. We're sports girlies. We're in our sports era.
Yeah.
And
you especially.
You know what?
Travis Kelce.
I'm telling you, he's getting a lot of flack these days. I don't know if you watched the recent Chiefs game, but they're kind of just saying he's like old, fat, and doesn't do anything.
So I'm in two fantasy football leagues.
Okay, yeah.
And one of them, I rode hard to get Travis Kelce as like my number two pick.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he's been sucking.
Man.
Really bad.
People are
and that sucks for my team. But I refuse to put him on the bench or trade him because I have faith that he's going to. And almost every week I do an anytime touchdown bet on him. And he's lost
every
single
week
too.
When I said I was in my sports era, like I'm not that deep.
Too much.
You're already gone.
Yes, I'm very aware of Travis Kelce's shortcomings right now. Very aware.
You know what? I think he's a good boyfriend though, so that's really all that matters.
You know what? That's what's important. Yeah. Long term.
Where you invest your love, it's where you invest your life.
It is her end game. Obviously, she's doing well with that because she's ruining his career.
Oh my god. You know, people are blaming her, and I'm like, what does that have to do with her?
No, yeah,
I'm sorry, she works harder than he does. Yeah. Let's be honest.
I think the spark is gone.
Really?
Well, not with him. For him in football. His spark with football.
Yeah, I'm like,
is
what?
Gone. No, not with them. I think they're very much still in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just the photo that they zoomed in on him
of him
the other
like,
day
pouting.
When he I was like, oh
yeah.
Travis.
No, I mean, this is the thing though too, and this is like we hold all celebrities, no matter the industry, like they can never underperform. Like, there's a standard, and if you go below the standard, it's like, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sorry, I have bad days. Like, there's days I don't even want to get off the couch. I'm like, can you imagine? Like, you have to show up. And, like, I think that, too, sometimes with, like, filming, I'll just be like, oh, like, I'm just not, I don't have the energy or, like, but, you know, you just do it.
Right.
And it's like, I can't imagine having to do something that's so physically engaging and so microscoped by people. And you, like, say you're having an off day, and you're like, I'm just not feeling up for it. You just have to do it.
Right. There is no option.
Yeah. Do you know who Chapel Roan is?
Yes.
Vaguely.
Yes. And then I was laughing because I listened to your podcast with Lisa.
And she has
like,
no
who
idea.
Is that?
I know. And now she's posting stories of like Ted singing to Pink Pony Club.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, finally. I'm like, no, it's just because I'm like on the internet in a very toxic way. I'm on it way too much. And, that's why I know all of the things, I feel like, because I'm just always on TikTok. But she just canceled two shows, one in D.C. and one in New York. And people are, like, dragging her across the coals because she just kind of put up this, like, notes screenshot from her phone saying, like, I'm just really stressed. And, like, people are like, you've been a celebrity for 4 minutes. Like, you better deal with it. Like, if you know.
I do think that's such an interesting thing, though, about being a celebrity is, like, I feel like when you're trying to make it big in music, acting, whatever, there's also like a you should just know this is going to happen kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe get in therapy preemptively.
No, there needs to be like, oh my God, I almost went dark, but it's like, you know, when you get a Smith's motion, you have to like do all this stuff.
It's like
before you're a celebrity and you kill your personal life, like you need to get in it and like figure out,
because this is your life.
Well, and it's like, I'm sorry, there's no... I'm such a fence sitter when it comes to this topic, because it's like, on one hand, you can want it and think it's going to be one thing and then get it and not love it.
Sure.
And like Billie Eilish said this once, she was like, you can become famous, but you can't become unfamous.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I decided to stop making music and just and do nothing, people will still be outside my front door. People will still be following me. Like I can't become unfamous. Like I can't unchoose it. So I get that in some sense that it's like once you're there, it's like you kind of just... Like Taylor Swift, if she just was like, I want to live a normal life now, that's not going to happen.
No, not
and
for Taylor.
No. And so it's like... That does kind of suck that, like, if you were a doctor, I can choose to stop being a doctor and people aren't going to come to my door asking medical questions.
Right. You probably still have friends calling and asking you that.
Oh, my God. Do you think that's so annoying, like, as a person?
Oh, I'm sure it would be, I mean, I'm not even a doctor, but I still have people call and ask me questions or text me, like, my kid's not saying there are. What do I do?
Oh, my God. You're like, I take them to a pathologist. Hello. Anyways, I know it's such a slippery slope because I'm like you know I think people want to be famous. I think fame is such a weird thing. I think people want to be successful in music, but really success in music equates to fame. You can't be successful without numbers. Yeah. And so it's just like, I think though, I don't know. I just wonder if, because her big issue, like, we like to remain neutral positive when it comes to politics at Gush.
Yes, that's great.
And we really just don't talk about politics because it's like, what's the point? You know, it's just terrible. Agreed. But she's just gotten in a lot of heat because she's been making all these TikToks about politics and voting, chapel. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why are you getting into this? Like, I'm kind of a firm believer, like, as a celebrity, I wouldn't really get into all of that stuff. Like, I don't think I would endorse people and do all that stuff. Because it's like, why? Like, what is the point?
You know? If I was a celebrity, I'd just stay off social media.
Yeah.
Altogether.
Yeah. Honestly. Me too. My God.
But Pop2Go lives rent-free in my head. 24/7 on a loop.
Do you do the little dance, too?
No. Nobody wants to see me dancing.
I love it. All right. Well, I guess let me do a little introduction. Yes. I'm so excited to be joined by the wonderful, stunning, beautiful, talented, show-stopping Holly Mattson. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah.
Mattson? Yeah. I was literally going to say Steiner, and then I tagged you in like a thing on Instagram, and I was like, wait, she's married. Like, I'm the person in my phone that I never change people's numbers or their names. So, like, their last names will be their last name forever.
My last name's been changed now for over a year and a half. And I still, like, when I go, like, to Walgreens to pick up a prescription, or I was at Ulta yesterday getting something, and I'm like, it's under Steiner, Mattson, I don't know, one of the two.
Yeah, literally. No, I know. I'm like, I just don't know if I could do that. It would be so hard your whole life. You're this one name.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's very odd.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Do you feel like it's, like weird to take someone's name?
I think, I mean, I'm down for whatever anybody feels is right for them. So I know people, what a politically correct.
Oh my God. Molly for Mayor. I was going to say Holly for Mayor. Holly for Mayor.
I have friends that have hyphenated. I've had friends that didn't do it all together. And I think it's just
like
whatever works for you. I was really excited to do it because I was excited to be, you know, like
joining
officially, like, part of his family and all of those things. It's not that you need the last name to do that.
Right. Well, anyways, guys, welcome back to Gush, your weekly or not so weekly podcast where we dive deep into the top 10 stories of the week. I'm your host, Tanner, and we are joined today by my lovely friend, Holly, and we are so excited to dive into the stories this week. You know, the stories we're storying, I feel like there's a lot going on this week.
Oh, there's so much good stuff.
So,
and bad stuff.
Yeah, let's jump into our first story. Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey ties the knot with her alligator tour guide husband.
Yes.
So Lana Del Rey has apparently gotten hitched to her alligator tour guide lover, Jeremy Dufresne, in Louisiana. The couple seemingly exchanged vows during a ceremony at Airboats Tours by Arthur in Des Almonds, Louisiana, where Dufresne is employed, according to photos obtained by the Daily Mail.
I have so many thoughts on this. First off, where was Taylor Swift? Because remember when she pulled Lana up on stage with her?
Yes.
That was odd to me.
And okay, I'm with you.
Because Lana was nominated too, and it's, I don't know, that was just weird. But
wasn't her song?
She was nominated in the same category.
Odd.
Yeah. That was weird to me. But they're very good friends. So I wanted to know, where was she? Second, I found it fascinating they did it on a Thursday.
That is interesting.
A little odd, what's the correct? But I guess when you're a celebrity, who cares? Every day is up for grabs.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, I don't know if you saw the photos, but they were like, they decorated some of the boats with flowers, and it was decorated not the way I would decorate for my wedding. Also, coming from a girl that got married in her backyard, so I don't know if I can really say much. But
what's the correct day to get married?
Oh, I think a Thursday is a little odd.
Thursday is wild. Like,
this is for people that work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Thursday seems odd. But again, maybe if you're a celebrity, it doesn't matter.
Honestly, maybe if you don't want attention too. Like, she probably wasn't wanting, you know, it's a work day. She's like, Thursday at 2 p.m.
Paparazzi won't be out. False Lana. We're out and about. And there's aerial photos. It was the whole thing.
I think my first take was, He is so Louisiana, like Jeremy Dufresne. Like that.
The name, like, the look.
Take her to the debutante. Like, yeah. What?
I also saw photos of him like kissing an alligator or something, and I read that he's named all of his alligators that he sees or whatever. So,
if you had to have an exotic pet, what would you have?
Oh, maybe like a panda.
I just saw a video of a
panda. They're so cute.
They're cute, but I just saw a video of a panda attacking one of the people because she accidentally slammed his paw in a door. Oh. She didn't mean to. She was trying to keep him out, and he attacks her. It doesn't kill her, but attacks her.
Wow. That reminds me of Chimp Crazy. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
I haven't, but I've seen clips.
It's wild. Not a chimp after that. I would not God. Bring a chimp home.
Never.
No.
Would you ever go on like an alligator swamp tour?
I don't think that's on my top 10 list of things that I want to do before I die. I mean, like if we were in Louisiana and somebody's just like, let's get on this boat and go see alligators, sure. Not something I'm seeking out.
I don't, no.
No.
I don't think that's in the cards for me.
It sounds hot. It sounds sticky.
It feels like one of those things that when someone gets eaten, you're like, you're kind of asking for it.
Right. You were out actively hunting them.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big, like, I've only been to New Orleans once and it was just not my jam.
Oh, like the South. You're like, I'm just like I'm north of the equator kind of girl.
It's hot. I guess that's sticky.
That's still north of the equator.
Yeah. And New Orleans, I should not say represents Louisiana as a whole. We got in at 10 a.m. and we're walking and a man just vomited right in front of us and then just passed out on the street.
No.
On Bourbon Street. So that was interesting. Anyways, happy for Lana, though.
You know.
Good for her.
You know what? We support this dating below your station. You know?
Yes.
Really.
It's an interesting match.
I think it's really pretty Lana-coded, if you ask me. I think fame wasn't really like, she was one of those artists that didn't really want fame either, I don't think.
And I think she's done a relatively good job at staying under the radar.
Yeah,
like honestly. The first photo of them together, I think, was just recently, and they've been dating for several years.
Yeah, yeah. And she worked at a Waffle House, so there's really nothing more American.
I'm Team Lana.
You know? Me too.
Yeah.
Our next story, not as happy. Diddy, apparently there's a law firm repping more than 50 alleged victims. A Houston-based law firm is representing more than 50 alleged victims who say they faced SA and abuse from Diddy and his associates, and they're predicting the group will keep growing as the cases progress. Attorney Tony Busby made some serious allegations on his firm's Instagram, saying the group of men and women who came forward have gut-wrenching stories about what went down at Diddy's alleged freak-off parties.
This is just, I feel like, I follow this very closely.
Oh, you are? So I haven't really.
Every morning, my favorite thing to do is on Snapchat. I follow Daily Mail, and I go through their stories, and this is how I keep up to date with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many stories on this that are coming out, and I just feel like our minds just keep getting blown at what's happening. And I feel like it's going to bring down, like,
the institution itself.
Yeah. Like, I feel like Jay-Z's very heavily involved. I was just seeing a bunch of things about how the Kardashians could be involved.
Allegedly.
All of this is alleged. Because of Corey Gamble, who dates Kris Jenner. And, like, it's just wild. And it's just so sad. I mean, like, I don't understand how you get to a point where you think you are so above everything that you can just do these things.
It's really, like, as I think about it, I just always think how money can be, like, the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Like, it really is, like, once you become so successful and you really can just get anything at any time, your limits on life, like... Let me take a second. Okay. Like, it feels like your limits... like what you believe to be limits or like morality kind of like go out the window.
Yeah.
It just seems, you know, I keep seeing so much corruption in people that hold like a significant amount of power and money. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it just power and money? Like can a human not withstand the corruption once they're given it? Cause I just wonder like if I had $1 billion and like didn't have to worry about paying for rent or paying for food or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to worry about any of those things. Like, the problem is nothing is exciting. Nothing has worth.
sure.
even other people. Because yeah. you can buy people. You can buy people to do things for. You can get... And people want to do it because they think, like, you're up there and they're, mm-hmm. you know? It's just such a weird dynamic. So is it, like, is it just... What, like, because I thought about, like, Jeffrey Epstein. Like, it's kind of the same situation. It's such
a similar situation, just, like, in a different industry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how do you stop it?
What I think is so terrifying, too, is I watched some of the Jeffrey Epstein, like, documentaries. And one of the first women that came out was basically, like, told no by everybody. They were like, we can't, like, this is, there's no point in telling anybody this because... The police won't help you. The media won't help you because she tried to go to media and they just said, they were like, we can't publish a story on this guy. Like, just how horrific that would be if you were a victim to feel like you're like trapped. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Well, just and you, I think, too, as you start unveiling these people and, like, their positions, you start to see that it's, like, all a spider web of connection.
100%.
And so it's, like, the person that you're trying to report probably owns a company that owns this company. And, you know, you're a voice, basically, for the corruption.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't really help the powerless because the power... gives you your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's so twisted.
I wonder too. I allegedly, some of his like mentors were involved in this, and how heavy was like that, and like that shown to him, and that's why he started down this road too. And I don't know. It's just it's wild.
Well, and like all the stuff with Justin Bieber, and like I just you
and
know
Usher, I just.
The thing that really, like, just gave me the total ick and, like, body chills was, like, the 48-hour custody over Justin. I'm like, that just sounds so, like, scary. Like, it sounds like...
How messed up. And, like, I think it was either him or Usher came out and said, like, I saw things that no, like, 14-year-old should have seen.
Right.
And what were their parents thinking?
What? Again, they think that they can get them ahead or get them where they want to be. And it's really, it's sick and twisted. I'm sure as the days go on, we'll start to see more unravel. And it'll be really interesting to see how this case goes, you know. And will he fall? Is he going to be the fall guy for all these people? Or will we see other people brought to justice? Because it definitely doesn't seem like this was a solo situation.
No, I think there's a lot of high profile people involved. Mm-hmm.
I think so, too.
I think we're going to see a lot of divorces happening.
Well, and, like, I was even seeing people, like, deleting tweets, like...
Yeah, it was Pink and...
like, deleting all their tweets. Like, what is that?
Yeah, but, of course, they came out, and they're like, that had nothing to do with this, but why did you delete 7,000 tweets?
Like, it is weird. Like, it feels very, like... Like, even if you're not connected to him at all, like, what are you trying to hide?
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if I was ever trying to be a celebrity, I would go delete all of my socials and start fresh.
100%. You know? Or just not be on social media. Yeah,
literally. our next story, another sad one. Maggie Smith, dead at 89, famously known for her roles as McGonagall in Harry Potter and then, of course, Downton Abbey. So Maggie Smith, a legendary actress who worked professionally for more than 70 years, has died, according to a statement from her family. Her sons, Toby Stevens and Chris Larkin, released a statement saying Smith passed away in the hospital peacefully. They did not give a cause of death. Were you a Harry Potter stan?
Okay, so this is so funny. We were talking about this at work yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, Maggie Smith died. You know, the one from Downton Abbey. And they were like, huh? We know her from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I was like, that did not click with me. Harry Potter's fine. I did watch the movies. I think I spark noted the books when I was in school. But I'm just not like, I know her from Downton Abbey. Huge Downton Abbey fan.
I never watched it.
Really?
Yeah, it just looked kind of boring to me.
Oh.
People say it's boring. What's...
I mean...
You're like, it's kind of boring.
Nah,
like,
now that I think back on it, it is a little boring.
Nothing happens. You're like, it's not even good.
I think I liked it more for just like the setting and stuff. You know, like it's a beautiful setting. Kind of like why I love Saltburn is because of the setting Saltburn. Also.
Did that movie rock your world?
That is the best movie I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Literally, I watched it 3 times. Like, no, it's honestly, so good. It's such a fun movie to watch with people that haven't seen it. Yep. And like, you had to do it in that moment where like nobody else had seen it, because now there's so much like on the internet about it that everybody people knows. Yeah. But like, it was so funny to like get people's like reaction to it.
I just thought the acting in that movie and the setting, the sublime. Backdrop, the furniture everywhere. Mm-hmm. I read a lot about how they like figured all this out and tried to like throw things in that were like modern, and I just loved it. And what's the blonde girl's name? The mom. Rosamund Pike. Yes. She's my everything. Just, she is so
Oh my gosh, top notch.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen I Care a Lot?
Uh-uh.
Oh my God, you have to watch it. It's on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And she's the lead in it, and she basically has this company, or I don't really know, like if she own, like basically does this work where she will get old people who like are slightly like they can take care of themselves, like they're fine, but like she basically gets judges to make her guardian over them and throws them in nursing homes and steals all their money.
Wow.
But she does it to this woman that like she underestimates. Oh my God, it's so
I'm gonna have good to go
you
home
have to watch it because she's so good, and she's so cunty in it, like she's so like just evil, like, and it's so good. It's so good. You have to, like, you'll love it. It's so good. But oh my gosh, like, I just, what's so crazy about Maggie Smith is literally she died on the exact date a year later as the actor who played Dumbledore.
Oh,
isn't that wild?
How odd.
I know. So it's pretty.
I saw that happen in slow-mo.
That's hilarious. And it's like you can't do anything to stop it. You know what I mean?
Oh, Monty, sweet boy.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. So you weren't a Harry Potter fan. Like, did you watch them?
Yeah, I watched them. I would just not say that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know everything. I didn't, like,
you don't
die
have a wand?
Over them. I don't have a wand.
Have you been to Harry Potter World?
I have, actually.
Okay, yeah.
So,
it's fun, even if you're not, like, a huge fan.
Yeah. So, yeah, and it's cool. Yeah. It's just not, again, not something that I'm going to pay out of my own pocket to go.
Yeah.
I'm also, Disney is wild.
We went like to Disney adults or?
Disney World. Just how expensive it is.
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, I'm going to have to tell my kids Disney doesn't exist.
No, literally. No, and do you remember at, like, okay, when I was a kid, we would, like, put the VHSs in, like, the Disney VHSs. Uh-huh. And at the beginning, they would play, like, commercials of, like, kids, like, packing their suitcase to go to Disney. And it was, like, then they'd show the park. And it's, like, that is slimy marketing. If you think about it, like, get the kids excited from the movie. But it's, like, honestly, make your coin.
Yeah, and they are making it.
It
a lot
is
of it.
Crazy. We went to, when I used to work, I still work for Paul Mitchell Schools and stuff, but when I like worked in the school, we would do these events twice a year at Disney, one at Disney World and one at Disneyland. Uh-huh. And or not twice a year, it was like every other year or something. And so I went several times to Disney, and it's like, it is crazy the amounts of money that, like, I can't even imagine what they make.
Oh,
and then like Disney Corporation owns everything.
Yeah.
They own Hulu. They own like all the, you know, it's like.
Mm-hmm. Which they're cracking down on password
crazy.
Sharing.
It's crazy. Oh.
Everybody is just ruining all of our lives out here.
Yeah. Think of the middle class.
Yeah. Just trying to catch a break.
Just trying to feed our families and watch Netflix. Some Moana. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Disney ruining.
Our next story. So I don't know if you've been following along with the whole Menendez resurfacing because of the show on Netflix, but Eric Menendez hugged it out with the actor playing him after slamming the Netflix show. So Eric Menendez hasn't held back on his negative reaction to Ryan Murphy's new Netflix biopic series about him and his brother Lyle, but the actor who plays him says it was all love behind the scenes. Cooper Koch said when he rolled up to San Diego's Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility with Kim Kardashian to meet the bros last week, he dove right in to hug Eric and Lyle, describing them as upstanding individuals and saying it was an amazing experience to be in their company. So, have you watched the show?
Not yet.
Okay, are you going to, or is
I
that interesting
know.
To you?
Well, so, sometimes, I mean, I think it's because you already kind of know the story.
Yeah.
That sometimes I feel like then rewatching like a whole series on it isn't necessarily like at the top of my list to do.
I get it. So we are watching it. We have like two episodes left. And Anthony knows nothing about them.
Okay.
And so I know everything about them. And so it's like, it does kind of take the, I almost said magic. That's so gross. This is like war profiteering. This is literally like war profiteering. No, like it's like it takes the kind of like excitement, I guess, is a better way of, you know, of like not knowing what's coming.
Right.
I mean, I have spoiled a lot of things for him because he's like, what happened? You know,
it is. I mean, it's a wild story.
It is a wild story. And so it's just crazy. I can only imagine what it's like to play someone who's still alive, let alone somebody who was such a huge kind of like pop culture situation at the time, and then like kind of went away. I feel like it's been, you know, over a decade that you don't really even hear about this stuff. You know, in the 90s, I guess it's like 2024, a decade. I'm like, the 90s were a decade away. Do you Do you ever think that? Like, you're like, oh, the 90s, like that wasn't that long ago, but it's literally like 30 years ago.
A very long time ago. But that's because we're still just 25, Tanner.
Man, in our hearts and souls.
In our hearts and souls. Not our bodies. Not my bones and muscles.
But no, like, literally. I've been seeing a lot of clips on TikTok of, like, videos of, like, the Fresh Prince, and they, like, make jokes about the Menendez brothers. Like, basically, the daughter's like, don't get sassy with me. I know the Menendez brothers, or something like that. Yes, like, totally not, like...
Also so not, like, no. easy to be
and,
doing,
like, in the nanny says it, too. Like, Fran Drescher says, like, something about them, like, as a joke. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird that, like, in the moment, because that would have been, like, mid-90s. Like, it would have been very close to
when it happened.
That situation, and it just really shows you kind of the cultural take on things now, because like now if you say anything like joking about something horrible, it's like you're a terrible person, canceled, off the internet. Like back then you could like joke about stuff like that and like people thought it was funny.
Yeah,
and I kind of like that. I kind of miss those days. Like it's like
not
it's
so
horrible
about it.
Everybody knows it's horrible, but it's like, like, what are we supposed to do? Like, sit here and cry about it?
Right.
Like, at least, like, you know, it's like, I don't know. It does feel kind of like you're, like, profiting off of someone else's misery. So maybe it is bad. I'm working through my thoughts on it.
You're undecided.
I'm working on my
position.
Yes. But I don't know. You know? I don't know.
I would love to know what, like, possessed Ryan Murphy to, like, all of a sudden, 30 years later, be like, you know what? A Netflix series on this.
So,
like, I'd love to know the background on that.
It's interesting because, you know, the brothers have come out pretty negatively about show. They haven't seen it, obviously, but they just say that it's, like, not true, like, the way that he's painting them. And I have two things about that. One, I don't think that a fictional series, like, this isn't a documentary.
Right.
A fictional series, I don't think, needs to be, like, spot on to the real life story. Like it's kind of a dramatization of what happened, right?
Sure.
So I'm okay with that. Two, Ryan Murphy came back saying like, I have no interest in meeting them, like I don't care, which I find really fascinating because it's like, what made you want to write a story about them then? Or like, what made you want to tell the story if you don't really have interest in meeting them? Like, to me, that would be what would spark the creativity, be like, oh my God, like, I'm fascinated like what it takes for someone to do this to their parents. And like, obviously there's so much depth to it that it's like, what? I don't know. I'm surprised that he doesn't want to meet them. That could be maybe a response just because they've been negative about the show. I also think I think Ryan Murphy just likes like queer centric stories.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there is sort of like a gay vibe to this story.
Yeah.
And like, just like Jeffrey Dahmer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's kind of fascinated with the macabre, but also like queer stories of the past.
Yeah.
Monty, shut the fuck up. Go lay down. Go get in your bed.
Don't fall off the couch again.
Yeah, literally.
Speaking of Ryan Murphy, though, too, and Travis Kelce, you know, full circle going
grotesquery.
Back. Grotesquery.
Have you watched it? I haven't watched it, so no spoilers, but.
Well, because, you know, people are up in arms at the first two episodes. Travis Kelce's not in it yet.
Oh.
People are very, very upset about that.
I didn't know this.
It's amazing. First off, I am all, Halloween's my favorite holiday, as you know. It's just, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I love all of these documentaries and
like
stuff.
Dark stories and stuff, yeah.
And so I get very excited for American Horror Story every year, although I did not like this past season. Kim Kardashian, in my opinion, is the worst actor I've
really?
Ever seen. Yeah, okay, I just thought it was a weird...
I thought she actually did pretty good for not being an actress.
Okay.
You know, I thought... Because that has to be hard. Like, you're not trained. Like, you're kind of doing something that's out of your wheelhouse. And the expectation that you have to be great is already there. So, I thought she did okay. I didn't finish the series because they, like, put out half. And then they took forever to get the second half.
Well, and it sucks for Kim going, like, toe-to-toe with Emma Roberts as your other lead in that. Because she's such a phenomenal actress.
Right. And a lot of those characters... or a lot of those actors have played together in other seasons. So they already have a work relationship and they kind of know how Ryan works. Like, you have a flow to it that, like, you're the new person.
Right.
And you're kind of the adversary because you're the person that, like, everyone's like, oh, are you going to be good?
Yeah.
And so that would be kind of a hard position to be in.
Grotesquerie is really great, though.
Okay, I'm going
to
watch it.
You need to. And they came out with the first two episodes already. It's fantastic.
Yes, I want to watch it. I love stuff like that. What was your favorite season of American Horror Story?
Oh, man. Well, the first one, it's hard to beat the first one.
It is so good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I also really liked, circling back to New Orleans again, the Coven.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that historical piece of that one, I found fascinating. When we were in New Orleans, I made Beth, she was there with me, my friend, made her go find Madame Laurie.
Madame Laurie.
Yeah, which is a true, like, story.
Delphine Lalali.
Yes. And I made her go, we found the house that was there.
Did you go through it?
No, I mean, we just walked by it.
Oh, okay. Because is it a museum? I think it's a museum, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't
creepy.
Know.
Creepy. Would you?
Oh, I 100%.
What's your, like, take on, like, do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
Do you believe in, like, energy, like, staying in a place?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And when we were in college at K-State, we had somebody who had died in our sorority house, and weird things would happen sometimes.
Yeah.
And speaking of spooky season, I know I always tell my husband, like, it's spooky season.
Yes.
I can't wait.
I love it.
There is a fantastic documentary on, who was the ghost hunter? I'm going to have to look this up.
Ghost hunter.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm going to find out.
Hmm.
Anyways, really good documentary. It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm going to think about it and I'm going to remember it anyways, but it's about this lady who worked for the church, and she was like helped with exorcisms and all of this stuff. And anyways, it was so good. And every year I try to find it because I watched it a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's like an older show. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was done like maybe five years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. Oh, so, interesting.
Anyways, I'm going to think about it and then I'm going to tell
you.
Hopefully I remember.
I know. So there's this whole movement right now that, like, they want the Menendez brothers exonerated.
Oh.
So people want them to be free.
What's on what basis? Because they they
murdered
their parents.
I think, like, basically people believe that because they were abused physically, sexually, and, like, I mean, one of the brothers was kind of tortured, if you ask me, that, like, it was kind of an act of self-defense and a thing. And because that's, you know, Anthony and I were talking about that, and I'm like, it is weird. Like, so self-defense really only works if your life is threatened in that moment. And it's like, but if you're like being, like, slowly killed,
is that not
self-defense?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, because, like, his parents threatened to kill him.
Right.
So it's like, he also could have feared for his life. I think the outlying factor or the problem is, like, you have two people that you can't interview because they're dead. So it's like, you are kind of just getting...
their account. Version of the story.
Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. It's weird. It's hard. Like, unaliving someone, is that, like, a crime that you can't come back from?
I
think that's kind of the position in our culture.
Sure.
And I don't know. I think that, like, people are complex and nuanced, and I don't know if you can be redeemable. Some people think no, and... I don't know. It's hard. I don't know.
Like, somebody who's, like, you know, the people that have been, like, held captive in a basement.
Yeah.
Like, if they were to kill their captors,
yeah.
I don't think we'd look at it. We'd be like, good for you. Right. Like, you're escaping.
Yes. Your life wasn't threatened. Yeah. It is. Just because they had some sort of autonomy over their life.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, you could have just left. But it's like, I don't think people understand the, like the psychological warfare happening in your brain when you're, like, basically essayed from the age of six.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like you kind of are stunted at the point of trauma.
Sure.
And so it's like, I don't think people understand, or like they just kind of like forget that it's like, oh, he was an adult, he knew better. And it's like, well, do you? I don't know. I have the answers to it. I do think it's an interesting conversation. I think my question is like, if you ask, or like if you can evaluate the offender and say, if they were to get out of prison, would they kill again? Mm-hmm. I don't think that those two men would kill people again. Because they're not just, like, going on a murdering spree.
Right.
They killed their parents in a way that obviously shows that, like, they felt like that was the only way out at that point. And I think people discount that because they spent a lot of the money that their parents had afterwards. But it's like, I mean, that's
they were also super. I mean,
that's like young guys. Right. Like, to me, I'm like, we consider 18 adult, but it's like, okay, like, think about things you did when you were 18. Like, I'm like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think
it'd be interesting to get like a psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously, honestly, hopefully, they've been receiving therapy in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want them to be rehabilitated, really, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so we'll have to just see what happens. But, you know, with Kim Kardashian being in the mix, she'll probably be getting them out of prison no time.
Unless she's in prison next.
Man.
Allegedly.
For her bad acting. Our next story, Julie Chrisley's attorney says resentencing decision was due to her fame. Julie Chrisley's attorney is slamming a federal judge's decision to resentence her to 7 years in prison for bank fraud and tax evasion charges, chalking it all up to fame. Jay Sergeant, one of Julie's defense attorneys, tells TMZ he thinks the judge refuses to lower her sentence as the result of bias against celebrities. Julie is well known by millions of people, and he thinks the judge is making an example out of her. Did you ever watch Chrisley Knows Best?
No.
Do you know who she is?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I research.
And oh, okay.
When you sent me all these stories. Love this.
Didn't know who she was coming, like,
no,
before
I
you.
Didn't. Yeah.
Okay. You'd seen her, like,
remember, in I social Daily media. Mail every day.
Okay. Yeah. So you've seen it.
Yes. Here's what I don't understand. If you're a celebrity and you've got any sort of notoriety, a show about you, whatever, why are you doing illegal things?
Yeah. It is a good question.
Like, I mean, there's already just like a big light shining on you. Like, I think of like the Gorgas on Real Housewives of New Jersey that went to prison over some of this. I feel like similar things. I don't quite understand all of this. But why? Like, that's so stupid.
It is a very strange thing. Because it's like, what is your, like, what do you think is going to happen? One,
right.
It's the IRS. And I just wonder, obviously, I don't know all the details as far as, like, you know, were they using like a money manager and that person did it, or, you know, like, because I think sometimes too this stuff happens. Like, I think Shakira had a similar situation to this, like where she owed like $100 million to like a government or something. And it's like, I think it's like, you're not even like, you're doing other things, like, so it's like you're not really doing it. And so it's like, if you don't know that much about it, and like, I just, there's so many tax loopholes for the rich and stuff. It's like, it just seems like a very, like, thin line to toe. My problem with this is, like, why are we spending more taxpayer dollars to keep these people in prison?
Touché.
Make them pay it back. Restitution. Yeah. Go out and work.
Yeah.
Like, they can make money. They could do a show and make more money. Make them do that and make them owe you. Make them pay double.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's not like they owe an absurd amount that it's like they couldn't make it back. Like, I think it's like several million. But it's like, at their level of fame, and that show was very successful, they could make more money. And this alone has made them more famous.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are we've lost money for them evading taxes, and then we're losing more money to keep them in prison, and we probably have to pay extra to keep them guarded because they are celebrities, and so they have to be separate from the gen pop, and like, it's like, make it make sense. Is this, I mean, I get it's a punishment, you don't want to be in jail, but it's like, is it like, let them right the wrong, because you're not really righting the wrong by being in prison.
Sure. No, that's a good point.
I just don't get it.
Let's get that judge on the phone.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's
somebody call. And
who
knows
this judge?
It's kind of like Martha Stewart, like, you know, yeah. like with insider trading. It's like, no, you know what you should do? You should have took away your ability to trade for 10 years.
Right.
Because then say goodbye to your money and your investments.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hit them where it really hurts.
Right.
Like, stop, you know, it's like, okay, she went to some prison where it was, like, basically vacation. She's like, great, I'll take some time off. That's, I'm overdue. It's like, is, yeah. you know.
This is relaxing.
Make it make sense. I'm like, I just don't get it, but.
Yeah.
They are beloved by many, the Chrisley family. So,
allegedly.
And their daughter, allegedly, you're like, I don't know. Their daughter, Savannah, has really been fighting for them, like, has taken care of, like, basically adopted their, or, like, became the guardians of her younger brother and her, their granddaughter, so her, like, niece. Because they were the guardians of her.
Yeah.
And then, like, has been fighting, like, to try to, like, get them out and stuff, so... I just, I can't imagine. Can you imagine your parents going to prison?
No.
Who would make it?
Oh, probably my mom.
Really?
I think she'd make it more than my dad would.
Stop.
Yeah.
Why?
I do. Just because my dad's very emotional, and I feel like my mom would be like...
She'd be like red and orange is the new black.
Yeah. I feel like
she'd be running the kitchen and like has everybody on lock.
She can get people in line.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. No, I don't think either of my parents would survive in prison, and I definitely would not survive.
No,
in prison.
I would not either.
Our next story, Blimp Globe.
You were so close. So close.
This fucking cough. Our next story, Blimp Goes Limp. The Blimp Crash in Brazil. A huge blimp sent up by a major soccer team for a promo blitz turned into a real PR nightmare when it came crashing down in a residential area in Sao Paulo, Brazil, injuring the pilot. The airship was cruising from Carapicuba when it crashed in the suburb of Osako, about 4 miles away. Video from bystanders showing the blimp getting shredded after snagging on rooftops. Did we not learn from Hindenburg? It's
like, that was just the last decade, that too, was right? Just
the last century, but
yeah, the picture of this is what's wild too, because it's like, I mean, it's like in a very populated,
right?
Like,
how do you get it out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how do you get that back out of there?
That is a great question. I mean, blimps are one of those things you just don't see very often anymore.
There's only like 25 in the whole world.
Really?
Yes, there's, it's a really low number. What happened to them? I think the blimp market just isn't up.
It's not soaring.
And neither is this.
Yeah, and neither is that blimp.
No, yeah, I think the blimp, you know, this is, okay, total side note.
Yeah.
What is with, like, all, like, the failed blimp industry is kind of what made me think of this.
Uh-huh.
What is with every tech company wanting to make glasses that do things?
That is a good point.
Like,
and did you see...
Who's asking for this?
Mark Zuckerberg's recent ones. Now, they said it was a prototype, but they were horrific. I mean, nobody has got to be wearing those.
Nobody. I'm like, you would be better designing, like... I literally don't know, but I'm like, who is out here asking for these glasses?
And what if you already wear glasses?
Well, I'm sure they can do prescriptions. I'm sure they can do bifocal inserts, right?
Maybe.
Do you wear glasses?
I had LASIK about 10 years ago.
Okay, nice.
In the last decade.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I have always had perfect vision, but this summer I have like, I'm have an eye appointment next week, actually. It was the first one I could get into, but I have like a black spot in this eye.
Oh no.
And I'm like, oh God, what if I have eye cancer? Like, I can see it right now. Like, when I'm in bright lights, I can see it. And when I'm in really bright lights, I think there's some stuff in this.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh, that's scary. Like, what if I have a tumor or something?
I hope you don't.
Are you one of those people, like, when something's wrong, you're like, you go to, oh, I'm dying. Like,
I avoid,
spiral.
Like, the doctor at all costs. So oh,
really?
I'm just one of those people like, it'll clear up.
Yeah, or it'll take me in the Nile point.
Right?
I
yeah.
feel that. Well, yeah. So safe to say we won't be riding any blimps anytime soon.
I'm just still fascinated by the fact there's only 25 left.
No, okay, let me fact check that because I don't know if that's...
One of my favorite stories about a blimp is my girlfriend at work one day was trying to say a blip on the radar, but she was like, it was a blimp on the radar. And I'm like, that's
okay.
Not how it goes. But also, like, a blimp is huge. It might show up.
Do you, Are you someone who will, like, correct someone if they say 100%. Something wrong? 100%. Speech pathologist, you have to.
Yeah. Yeah, because what if Beth kept going around saying a blimp on the radar?
So, in 2021, Reader's Digest, a very reputable source.
I believe them.
Said that the consensus is that there are about 25 blimps still in existence, and only about half of them are still in advertising purposes. Or well, still in use for advertising.
24.
Literally. So crazy.
I'm glad it was just the driver.
Glad it was Brazil.
Yeah, glad. I'm going to get into the blimp industry. Let's bring him back.
A lost art.
A lost art.
Lady Gaga, our next story. Lady Gaga. Oh, I was like, what? Sorry, my brain. Lady Gaga quinning at life, like quinning Harlequin, winning. Quinning at life at London's Joker premiere with her wacky outfit changes. Lady Gaga was channeling her full Harley Quinn vibes, dripping in wackiness as she strutted out of the after party for the London premiere of Joker, fully au deux. Exiting London's Nomad Hotel, the star rocked a bodysuit covered with bleeding faces stitched together. And of course, she paired it with matching stockings and towering baby blue platforms.
Of course.
What's your take on Lady Gaga?
I think she is a wonderful, amazing artist.
Are you a little monster?
half monster.
Who are you, like, who are you a stan for?
Huh?
Who are you, like, a stan for?
Like, in the music industry?
Yeah, like, you just, like, are, you die.
Oh, I'm all about Sabrina Carpenter right now.
You're a Carpenter. Oh, my God. Okay.
Her new album, I've just been listening to on repeat since it came out. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. I love her just kind of F you attitude to everything and everyone, and I'm just here for her.
No, I'm obsessed, too. She's great.
But I think Lady Gaga is fascinating because I truly think she's not, like, a singer. I think she's an artist.
Totally.
And everything she does is in the name of art in some fashion, which I believe she went to, like, an arty kind of school.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
But I think
she's... didn't she go to NYU?
Fact check. I swear she went to some sort of, like, artsy type of school, maybe not.
Where did Lady Gaga go to high school? High school.
Not necessarily creepy. High school. Did you go to Juilliard?
Son of a bitch.
Did I make that up?
Hold on. Give me a second. Where did Lady Gaga go to college? NYU. Oh, she went... Okay, so she went to Tisch, a prestigious music school.
Yes.
Which is a part of New York University.
Okay, yes. So some sort of artsy thing.
Yeah.
But I think everything she does is art.
I think too.
The clothes that she wears, the music, the acting, like, she truly is, like, a force of nature.
Yeah.
She's so talented. But what I want to know, when she wakes up on a Saturday morning, what does she wear?
You know, did you ever watch Lady Gaga 5'2"?
Uh-uh.
So it was, like, a documentary of her, like, following her around during her release of Joanne.
Uh-huh.
And, most of the time, she's, like, in normal clothes, like, jean shorts, a t-shirt, hair pulled up. Like, I don't think anyone's, like, full glammed and, like, in weird shit at home,
right? All the time, yeah.
No, I 100% agree with you. I think she is, like, totally an artist, a total creative.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, probably a genius. If we're, like, talking, I think it's just, she just has so much insight into, like, what it means to be a human. Like, I just, I really love her. I haven't listened to her. So she dropped, like, a surprise album with the heart, like, this new movie.
Oh, she did?
Literally, like, yesterday.
Daily Mail didn't alert me of that.
Well, get on it. So I need to listen to it, but I've heard it's pretty good, so.
Okay.
But it's, like, Harley inspired.
Okay, I like that. So. Yeah, I'm all here for her. I respect her.
Mm-hmm. This just made me think of that because I was thinking of your niece Harley, and I was like, somebody did, like, a Halloween party where you had to dress up, like, as something as your name. So it was like, it's like, what would you, Holly? You could be, like, Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I could also just be one big Holly Berry.
That would be something.
I could be Halle Berry, but, like, a Holly.
You could be, what else is Holly?
Crickets.
I don't know anything that's Tanner, so. I just have, like, the worst spray tan.
Yeah.
I just go with, like, the...
Tanner, I'm
just
that.
Literally just, like...
And I can just be one big red
berry. I look
berry.
Like Snooki.
Yes.
We should do this.
Okay, I like it.
Our next story, some more sad news. I don't know if it's sad, but Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum settled their divorce after 6 years.
You know what's funny? When you sent that to me, I was like, they're divorced? And then I'm like, of course they are.
He's
but again,
with, he's with Zoe Kravitz.
Right. What a beautiful couple.
Literally.
Yeah. So, I just forgot they were divorced.
Yeah.
It seems like just yesterday they were together.
I know. Dancing. The couple I just thought would make it. Jenna Dewan and Channing Tatum can finally breathe a sigh of relief and move on with their lives because their divorce has officially been settled 6 long years after the actress first filed. Details of the settlement aren't public, but TMZ has obtained the binding agreement they've signed, and Jenna and Channing have hashed out their assets, decided what gets what, and even settled on a child support arrangement. I heard somewhere that she's, like, asking for spousal support, too.
Oh.
What do you think about that? Do you think that you should be owed, like, money?
I think it depends on, like, if you built something together while you were married. I think that there's justifiable reasons that maybe you would want that. But, like, if you both had your own things going and, like, didn't create something together, I don't necessarily see the point.
It's,
you know?
It is nuanced. Like, I think it is,
kids,
like,
though, the kid thing is different. It is. That is so hard.
Well, because, like, I allegedly heard that she is trying to get parts of, like, the Magic Mike stuff that he has.
Yes, I saw that.
And it's like, well, what'd you do? Like, were you a part of it?
Right.
Or, like, just because you were married and, like, I don't know. I just think, like, too, it's kind of slimy. Like, it's like, you have your things, he has his things. Like, split your money and, like, your wealth and stuff. I think that's fine. But it would be interesting because I think he was significantly richer than she was. And so it's like, oh, that's hard. Like, that just makes it kind of difficult to decide, like, you know. And you do get accustomed to a lifestyle, but
right. Now, I've obviously never been divorced, but what I find fascinating is divorce takes that long.
No.
You don't. I feel like sometimes you do hear
if it's nasty, yes.
Like,
but I think also if you're just like not like in a hurry.
That's true.
I don't know. But like, I mean, I've known people who got divorced within like months.
Oh, wow.
Like it's that like from quick. Decision to ending it's
yeah.
No, I think it can be really ugly if you aren't, like, if you can't agree on things. I personally think when you get divorced, it should just be 50-50. Yeah, I think no matter what, just, like, everything go 50-50, you split ways, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? On marital assets.
Right.
You know, if you have, like, things outside of that that were only yours and never theirs, I don't think. But it's, like, if you bought a house together, if you have a shared bank account, if you, whatever all that is, that should all be split.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
So. Yeah. Well, but
toodaloo.
Seems like they're happier and better off without it.
Yeah.
Our next story, Brett Favre?
Favre.
I'm new to sports. We're cutting this, so keep laughing.
Oh, that was so good.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre opens up about his Parkinson's diagnosis. Brett tells TMZ Sports he has... Brett Favre tells TMZ Sports he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in early January after he began experiencing trouble using his right arm and hand. The Hall of Fame quarterback made the revelations to us in late August while discussing various football topics. At the time, he requested... Oh, so TMZ saying this. TMZ knew about it in late August and requested that they don't... he requested they don't report on it until he went public with his diagnosis when he was at Capitol Hill last week.
Okay.
Which, funny enough, they did. Stood by it, which that's honestly... That's like a slam dunk for them because that's absolutely really like the way to be.
That and that's something that's like affecting him personally, yes. Obviously. Brett Favre.
Brett Favre?
How you knew how to say the name of that city in Brazil? Brett Favre is where we're struggling.
I've never
today.
Heard it. I honestly don't know much about this person. I couldn't tell you the team he played on.
Green Bay Packers. Oh. He was a Packer for a long time.
Apparently, in his 20-year NFL career, he had 508 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was like a beast.
The best?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still kind of a daddy, so.
Oh, yeah, he's very good looking.
Huh. Parkinson's, like, honestly, any sort of, like, what am I trying to say? Like, a disease that attacks your,
like, ability to move and stuff?
Yes, yeah. Like, motor skills. It's just so sad, like, because it's just, like, it's like Celine Dion. I know hers is totally different, but it's, like, it's just, like, it's, I think what's such a hard thing to come into grasp of when you're getting older is, like, your brain... like, you still feel like the person that's young.
Right.
And so as your body stops working, or, like, you get something that, like, you can't control, it's like,
yeah,
that's such a hard thing to cope with.
Oh, I couldn't, you know, imagine.
Especially someone who their whole career was moving.
Right. You know? Yeah. Being athletic. Yeah. I didn't know about this. That is really sad.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, but you also look at someone like Michael J. Fox, who had Parkinson's famously, and he really continued to act and do all these things until, I think, came to a point where he couldn't. But
right.
He is still alive.
Siri?
Pop culture experts here.
I mean, I thought Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan were still together, so
this is pop culture 2010. Yes. That's
where we're at. Oh, and I'm really good at this trivia.
Is Michael J. Fox still alive? What did I call him? Did I say Michael J. Fox or Michael J. Douglas?
I think you said Fox.
Not all that popping up. It would appear he is still with us.
Cheers to you.
Is Michael in the room with us?
Look around. Good to know. Look at us learning today.
Honestly.
I learned about blips.
Still alive.
And I'm very happy for Michael J. Fox.
All right. Our final story. Dancing with the Stars. Anna Delvey and Tori Spelling were eliminated and had wildly different reactions. Yeah. Anna Delvey and Tori Spelling are the first two stars to fall out of the Dancing with the Stars sky, heading home in a double elimination, and their reactions couldn't be more different. The socialite and the actress were eliminated Tuesday night after landing in the bottom three, and Anna and Tori couldn't have had more different reactions. Tori talks about how grateful she is to have practiced in the show and encourages her kids to keep following their dreams. Anna, on the other hand, couldn't think of anything nice to say during her reality TV debut, saying she learned zilch during her journey.
First off, my first problem with this article is that they called Anna Delvey a socialite. Let's call a spade a spade. She's a criminal.
Oh, and Holly. Holly's one of those.
Might also be a little.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So. Got a few things with the reporting.
You know what? I thought you were just going to come for Anna, but you're an equal opportunity hater. Yes. And I can support that.
I mean, God bless Tori Spelling. She's been through the ringer.
You know, isn't she living in an RV? Give the girl a break. She needed the paycheck. They could have let her go a few more rounds.
Yeah, right.
Okay, this is my take on Anna Delvey.
Okay.
Love her to death. America's sweetheart.
You're right.
Move over, Taylor Swift. Yes. Anna Delvey is here.
Watch out, Travis Kelce. Anna's coming for you. Ankle monitor and all. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if she can leave the state of California.
You know what? No, this is my thing. It goes back to kind of like Julie Chrisley.
Yeah.
Anna has paid her restitution. She's done her time. She's cooperating with the United States government. What else do you want from her?
A personality.
Honestly,
I think she's doing all this for show. She knew going in, she wants to stay relevant, and she knew going into that interview, she's like, you know what I can do is give a nasty interview about how I learned nothing, and that's going to make me stay more relevant. It's planned.
I also think that she's had a lot of adversity in this journey on Dancing with the Stars. Like, the public has not really been for it. And I don't really even think, like, the people of the show. Mm-hmm. I think Dancing with the Stars marketing team was brilliant by picking her. And it obviously is bringing so much attention to a show that kind of isn't, like... It's mainstream, but it's, like, not, like, cool.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, like, I definitely think it's bringing a lot of attention to the show. I just think, like, she would be smart to kind of change that attitude, like, fuck you guys kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't owe anybody anything. And, like, I think the reason she said nothing was because... I think she really didn't get anything from it. Like, there's, like, her partner, like, went on TikTok and was, like, she's literally crying in the bathroom, like, from, like, the comments people are leaving and stuff. It's, like, I think it actually is affecting her a lot more than she's willing to let on. And I think this is her, sort of, like, wall to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, it's that bigger conversation, too, on, like, when are you redeemable? If you commit a crime, you know.
Well, she wants to be redeemable, saying, I learned absolutely nothing from this experience.
So you think, like, if she should have just...
She doesn't want to be redeemed.
Turned it on.
So. Well, I don't think she should have turned it on. I think she could have been honest and could have set used that as a time to be like, this was a hard experience for me. I feel like all of America was hating on me, and that's rough, and I'm still a person.
Yeah.
And that would have been a more redeemable way instead of just being a bee and being like, nothing.
Right. It, what's really interesting, don't too, like is she's famous. So she really became as famous as she is because of the Netflix show, which she really had no part of and really didn't. Kind of the Menendez situation, where like she wasn't really on board with it and felt like she was painted in an untruthful picture. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting that like now you've kind of elevated to this level of fame from something that you know, it's kind of like the Menendez brothers. They're like kind of becoming famous again because of this. And it's like, it's just an interesting kind of juxtaposition, I think.
Well, and I wonder, too, when it comes to stuff like that, like libel and slander, how does that fit in if you're making a show? Because it's not like they changed the names.
You know what they do? At the beginning, they say, this is a fictional story about, you know what I mean? They put that little disclaimer in, and then it's like allegedly. We can say anything.
True.
You know? True. And then it's like, there's no claim because I said it's just false.
My favorite that we used to joke about was, you know, when it shows... based on a true story. Mm. And then we'd always laugh because we'd be like, based on a true story, there was a house in the middle of the land one day in 1990.
Yes.
That is what we're basing that was the it truth. Off of. Mm-hmm. So,
no, and you know what's funny is like, not to go back to the Menendez story, but once I watched some of the press they were doing with the show and they were talking about how the story as it unfolds, like it's from everybody's different point of view. So like one episode, it could be from the parents' point of view and like the kids are monsters, they're terrible, and then the next one it's from their point of view and they're the victims, and then it's from this other guy whose daughter was murdered and is like attending the trial. Mm-hmm. And like, so you don't really have a clear view of like what the truth is, but it really just tells you there is no universal truth.
Right.
It depends on your perspective. It depends on who you are in it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if you're the son being abused, your perspective is different than if you're the lawyer of the accused, if you're the person whose daughter died and now you're watching someone else get off free. And it's like, you know, you, there is kind of, it really means there is like truth doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's just,
I read that Ryan Murphy did that on purpose. He wanted to show like all of the different kind of angles as to what could have caused this and what could have happened. Which I don't think that what I read originally was the Menendez brothers were not happy with some of the things that he was storytelling about.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, he makes it like, I mean, it makes it look like the brothers were in a relationship with one another and that they just were kind of dumb idiots. Like, you know, but then they can be very cunning and other things. So it's like, you don't really know because no one does.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting, like, version of storytelling that I'm like, oh, once it was explained to me, I'm like, I get it. But watching it, I'm like, wait, you are kind of confused. But that's the point. It's like, everyone's kind of confused. Like, what happened? Why did it happen? And how do we stop it from happening again? But I don't know. I also, like, for me, like, the difference between Anna Delvey and the Menendez brothers, obviously, is a lot of things. But
just a few little just small a few things.
Details. But for me, it's like, when a crime is not against a person, I don't know if there should be jail time. Is that a crazy take? I don't know.
I think I think it's an interesting question to pose about, how could you look at, I mean, there has to be punishment, right? Obviously, everybody would do bad things all the time. But looking at alternate ways, like you've already mentioned several times, I think is a legitimate discussion that could and should be had, probably.
Yeah, because it's like, how many people are, or what's really crazy is like, crimes that were once crimes and now they're not.
Yeah.
Like in this country, you know, and it's like, people are sitting in jail for things that are now legal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how does that work? Like, should those people not, I mean, they committed it when it was a crime, so yeah, you did something wrong, but it's like, now it's okay. That's just such a weird, like, position to be in, you know? I don't know. I
thought we were going to fall off the couch.
Oh my gosh, I'm surprised he hasn't bulldozed the lights down. Holly, this has been an absolute delight.
Allegedly.
Anything you want to talk about pop culture that we didn't discuss?
No, I feel like I hit all of the good things.
I love that you did research. I don't even do research.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just wing it.
I have a PhD. Research is in my DNA. Man, I just do it.
Look at you.
And I love doing research on pop culture, obviously.
I mean, yeah, it is fun to do a deep dive. I'm kind of more the like TikTok research. Like, give me the like 30-second video that gives me the cliff notes, then I'll die on the hill of like, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
I'm going to look real quick. I'm going to see.
Is there any?
The documentary I keep talking about is.
No, I love spooky stuff. Do you like horror movies?
Yes.
Are you watching any? Have you watched any good ones?
We watched A Quiet Place Day One recently.
Did you like it?
No, not really.
Talk about boring.
I loved it. Day One?
I loved it.
Also, though, I was about to cry about that cat the whole time. I'm like, dude, that cat doesn't make it. I'm turning this movie off.
Okay, at one point in the movie, I kind of wanted the cat to die because I'm like, you haven't made a peep this whole movie.
Scott,
that
is
so unrealistic.
We were like, there's no way that cat is not meowing.
And that cat would have never stuck with her. That cat would have been out of there. Like, first sign.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So that was a little unrealistic. But the reason I loved that movie, because I felt like it was, I felt like it was really a story about acceptance of dying, and like there was like deeper meaning to it. Yeah. Like it wasn't just like a horror movie. It was kind of like, you know, this woman who has kind of given up on her life and then almost has this new will to live when, you know, it's like there's a saying, I think it's like a Middle Eastern saying or something, but it's like basically like if you feel, I'm totally gonna butcher it, so I should try to find it, but it's like if you feel like you want to die, like wade out into the water and like start to like drown, because like you'll find out quick that like you will try to survive. And so it's like you, now I'm trying to figure out what that actually means, but it's like kind of once you realize you have like something to live for, or like not really something to live for, but like I don't know. We have that fight in us until like the bitter end, I think. And I thought that was interesting in how she kind of like sacrificed herself, spoilers, for that man, you know.
I, though, also thought, I was like, could you imagine being an actor and somebody's like, we're going to do a movie. It's going to be basically you and one other guy the entire time in a cat, and you're not going to talk.
It's interesting.
That would be scary. Hard.
It would be a difficult thing. And like
the script had to have been like 5 pages long.
You know what's funny though is actually I bet the script was super in depth, because the storytelling that has to happen without words, like,
it's a work of art in that.
It is. Oh, totally is. And it's like,
I just didn't like the movie.
No, and I get it. A lot of people don't like those movies. And
I liked the other
ones. Love John Krasinski and Emily Blunt though. So I'm like, oh, I love that you guys like created this and like kind of made it into what it is. But
okay,
tell us.
It's Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Oh, from The Conjuring.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now let me find the I'm gonna find the documentary name, and so you guys can all watch it because it's so good.
Okay. Yeah.
Devil's Road, the Devil's true story of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Okay.
I believe it's on HBO Max, maybe.
Love that.
Watch it.
Do you
spoiler, it's fantastic.
Do you have all the streaming services, or do you use other people's?
We have our own.
Wow. You don't? You share people? Literally. I know.
Sometimes it's a crapshoot when we're like, is our Netflix going to work today? Literally. So we have to really be careful. There's nothing we really want to watch on there.
No, I'm sorry.
Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Netflix brings in like $2.5 billion a month. It's like Cry Me a River. You're good.
We have some, I think, just like through our phones.
Yeah.
But no.
One of my friends, I use two of hers, and she was like, "Hey, I'm canceling all my subscriptions. Like, get your watching in." I was like,
"Worse."
So, who am I supposed to mooch off now?
Right. Yeah. The one that we might have to get is to watch The Traitors. I don't know if you've ever watched that.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, what
they,
is it?
They get a bunch of reality stars together, and two of them are traitors, and then the other ones are called the faithful, and the faithful have to figure out who the traitors are, and if a traitor makes it to the very end, the traitor gets all the money, but if the faithfuls make it to the end and there's no traitor, then they split the money.
Okay.
It seems silly, but it's really good. No, it sounds really kind of fun. Good.
Hmm. Anyways. Do you watch The Bachelor?
No.
Mm.
No.
Get out. Well, thank you guys so much for watching Gush, your weekly podcast where we dive deep into the top 10 stories of the week. I'm your host, Tanner. Thank you so much for being here, Holly. We love you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next time. Love you, rats. Bye.
Bye.
Now you're an honorary rat.
Oh, I'm so excited. That was so fun.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, now we need to take some pictures.
Okay.